Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
We've spent 5.5 hours solid removing graffiti from inside a high school. Don't know how that goes, but it's just methodically going through rooms, and there's basically a little bottle of fairly potent acid. You need gloves on, and you should have eye protection on for it. This is spray on acid, and it basically, if it's pen, the pen on a plastic surface, it just wipes off as if you please, as if you'd, I don't know, spilt tomato sauce. If it gets on brick, it's a bit more, takes a bit more effort, and if it gets on paint, if they write something on paint. So in general, they write, in general, you sort of tend to know where to look. So it's the rear desk where the teacher can't see. There's someone who often writes a little piece there. And then a mark around the chair. You look at it and turn it up, and you can get up and have a look at it. Now, unfortunately, with the school system, unlike a domestic house, it's a school in the house, the amount of paint put on a wall is microscopically thin, sort of thinner than the actual graffiti. So if you rub it all too hard, you just rub a ball patch in the paint. So that's a little bit of art to getting in. And the other aspect of it was, I'm just trying to think, there's a few minor stories coming in. I suppose one story is the thought, I think I understand the theory of paint and the fact how graffiti paint is a high school paint. It's just someone's got the text and they just write random shit, phone numbers, various negative things. I suppose that the negative thing which really impressed me was this in the girls' toilet. There was some attack could be visible from the outside. They wrote the mirror image tag on the inside of through the window, and so initially you thought, oh, stupid, I'll just spray up there and see if it comes off, even though you know it was on the opposite side of the window, but it's actually on your side of the window to come out. So I'm just having a good look up over here. On your side of the window, but that in mirror image. And so this was a brilliant tag in that you would be... it was designed to be seen from outside the building, and you attempt to wash it on. And it's actually on the inside of the glass written in reverse to come through. So I thought that was a brilliant side of it to go across. And, of course, I knew about the theory of paint thing. I will be back with you in just a gist. I just got to pick something up here, and then I've got to go into Penrith and buy a present. I'll be with you in a tick. Okay, I'm back back again after that break. I must admit, what I did is I got some money out of the bank and also bought a pizza roll. But, so it looks very much like the L pumps. Oh, I've got to remember, one of the people I just saw there looked like one of the people who was one of the grandparents who was cleaning out the school. I suppose getting to it is getting into the team. You get a sort of a feeling, sort of, you know, with almost any team I'm in, I have a slightly different stance, and somehow in all stances I'm not as literal as they are. So in the Returned Soldiers League, I'm sort of in the stance there, but can sort of see a distance from it. Here, in the anti-graffiti gang of these probably five grandparents, old elderly people who go around with chemicals and buckets and, you know, various kit to deal with graffiti as and where it happens. It's sort of like boot camp for graffiti going into a high school. And yes, in there you sort of you say, "Oh well," a few questions to them. Have you seen Life of Brian, where the man is told to do some graffiti and is held by a Roman and is told to write it out 100 times? So he graffitis all over Rome. So over Jerusalem, he does anti-Roman stuff, and it's sort of very much the Latin teacher not seeing the actual context. He's trying to do something wrong. And then, no, they hadn't seen it. Were they aware that graffiti was in Pompeii and archaeological sites? A lot of archaeological sites had graffiti in it. Importantly, this is the first recorded Christian community. It's recorded via their graffiti. No, haven't heard about it. I mean, Christianity is very important, but no, I hadn't heard that some of the earliest graffiti in Pompeii had the fish symbol, and that was the god tags before the cross. It was the fish signal, the symbol. It was the symbol of Christianity. And no, that's not that. And then what do you think of tattooing, which is sort of graffitiing yourself, in the canvas of yourself? And so as you get in, there's a feeling of venial violation of God's law, might be it, in the anti graffiti group. But also there's a feeling that they're doing wrong, and that will give them a criminal record. And if they want to proceed along society in such and such a way, this criminal record will do various things. Now, interestingly, a small Australian criminal record, so if you do graffiti at school, you can't travel to the United States of America. The American people will keep you out due to the thing. I think if you speed and drunk drive, no, that's okay. If you embezzle money, perhaps that's okay. But if you graffiti in these various cases, no, they won't they won't let you in. And sort of rather strange that the sort of standard they have for people really varies them. So that they have the sort of this mentality is slightly different from what I said. There's the idea of the corrupt mind. There's the idea of removing graffiti, and it is true that a few years ago, or 10 years ago, when they were doing it, they would have to spend 4 complete days a year removing graffiti. Now it went to twice a year, and now it's just once a year, half day, and it's going into various things, identifying things. And the idea, now this is an interesting thing, which I thought was a bit almost predatory. It's sad in a way, in that there's certain tags which are known, and they photograph all of them. And so when they finally catch the person, because they've become, it's inevitable they'll be caught, they have 160 or 98 convictions against them. Each photograph is a separate charge. It sounds a huge amount of things. And obviously the magistrate doesn't go through all of them. You know, you can challenge them. And basically, in this, that if you get a lawyer, and if you get a lawyer to defend yourself as a kid, you've obviously got money. The state gets a lawyer, and it drags out, and invariably, you don't get sort of the good behaviour plus more things, and it's more important finding people out. So people have certain tags or names that they write. And they use it And there's various things. In order to get the same tag, you've got to produce it. You have to practice it. So these are highly complicated, elaborate things with flourishes, and typically a end flourish, which has got a devil's hook on the end of it, a little dot. Sometimes it has a thick, ballooned letters to come out. So you have to practice it. And so the knowledge is that by law, all youth have to go to high school. So a high school, your public high school, is the place where you're going to have graffiti people. And they go through the classrooms, and if there's any recognisable tag, that photograph, and it's obviously not a charge, but it identifies that student as having been in the at the school, and in some cases they'll get a tag and remove the tag from the girl's toilet, either at a station or something like that, measure it up, and they'll know that it's a girl at such and such a school. And furthermore, the actual tag sheet is given to the school teachers of all tags that they're interested in, and sure enough, people do identify it, because people often write their tag on the side of their homework, or in an exam, or on their book, or on their school bag. That's their tag, that's their signature. Oh, that's a good one. Looking forward to it. Once you see graffiti, once you're sensitized to it, you see it absolutely everywhere. And so the overall idea is that there's a cost benefit, a more prosaic cost benefit of doing graffiti. So this began graffiti in that there's obviously the benefit of notoriety and the cost of being caught, that type of stuff. But there's also more prosaic thing of transport card, time cost, and a cost of spray cans. And so a spray can in Australia can cost $15. So if you're graffitiing up, you can easily spend, in a night of graffitiing, you can spend $100. Now, you've got the investment of the cost of getting to the remote suburb, either on a train or something like that, so there's a cost there. And of course, now you might want to sort of travel illegally, but you're sort of multiplying your risk factor. If you're caught illegally and the police want to, suspicious, check your bags, stuff like that. So it's cost. So let's say a night out costs $80, $100. So that's your investment for it. And the benefit is pretty much the same benefit, with the ability to say that I can project social power. Now, I actually don't feel that's... it's sort of like an artistic wankery type of stuff. I myself don't feel... no animal, no person's been harmed. It is creating a landscape of fear. As you look around, I must admit, I can see very little graffiti here. There's a bit on the rail corridor where it's safe, unsafe to clean it up. That's where you see it. But in general, I don't see any graffiti about the places I'm going across. So just getting back to it, the idea is that if you basically go out and the very next morning it's gone, and you have another suburb where you're more successful, there's a tendency not to go up to that suburb. People, I don't know, looking over here, there's huge quantities of graffiti here. so car. I just saw it over there. So obviously people are doing it. They're doing it for a reason. But that being said, they're not. I wonder really if the people doing graffiti are the same people who do break and enter. That would be a overall thing. Or if doing graffiti actually, you can see over here all the walls have been lick of paint again. The idea is that there's a cost in inventing, and basically if you do graffiti, the idea is not to get them. And so that's the idea for the counter psychology, the psychology for getting up early at 7 o'clock and turning up in a crew. And obviously, it's much easier if many people get involved. If it's one or two people, it seems to me, I've been called out 3 times in, basically a week and a bit, and it's getting a bit, there's a bit of interest in it, but there's not much intellectual challenge for me. I think there's a bit of challenge to try and work out, is there a better way? Is there anything that I can understand about my knowledge of paint drying and how paint dries? So, and the relevance of it to there, and the fundamental of how do you prepare a surface to best do it? How do you abrade a surface? That sort of thing. That I suppose interests me a little bit, but after the fact that it comes basically down to the cost per litre of solution. So basically, if you get something 50% better but costs 3 times as much, it's not worth doing it, because it's, I suppose labour is cheap. I did ask it's strange. The school is closed because they have big water reservoirs and on the school, and that school oval, big sort of like swimming pools. Now, I don't know whether it is such that the choppers can go up and pick one of these up and just drop it, or that these pools are there for firefighting, as a firefighting reserve for when shit hits the fan. So the school's shut off, but the government, because it's a taxpayer-funded school, the idea is that the school gets, during holidays, which is its holidays now, I don't really think this is our summer holidays, it's summer here, the school's open. And so to have the school open, they have to employ a security guard for every school. So our portal security guard is sitting there, but they've closed the school. They've got him there being a security guard for a school which they have closed. Now, the schools now are enclosed land. That is, that they have a 6 foot high unscalable fence around the outside of them. This is just for the protection of students, and there's all these things you wouldn't believe. Essentially, everything has to be planned such that you can't drive a truck. You can't have a whole students assembled in an area and a truck can't just suddenly burst through and run them over. As for any gathering, it's a street party or parade. The parade, they'll just quietly go up and get approval of it, like the RSL, any military parade. They just hire large trucks to block the intersections and just make it physically impossible to actually do a terrorist run through it. School is closed because the helicopters will come down and pick up these large quantities of water which have been made available. Therefore, I believe it. So it's a helicopter formation thing, so it's closed. So the person's there, we're knocking around with him a little bit, and she was just checking what's happening here. And he's Pakistan. And I say, oh, do you have the problem in Pakistan of graffiti? Now, the thing is that I would, before I was involved in this graffiti crew, have given the response he did, no, there is no such thing as graffiti in Australia, or in his case, Pakistan, which I certainly believe. And he said, and I said, oh, do you have old grandparents going around schools on holidays cleaning it up? He said, oh, no, every year we completely repaint the school. How? And the reason is that in Pakistan, I don't know why he would say this, everything is really low quality and therefore it's cheap. And labor is cheap. So you just repaint the school every 12 months and people are continuously repainting their houses in a very short time. I don't know whether this is a rich school or how it goes. And therefore you don't have a problem with graffiti because the whole thing gets repainted. And I suppose that's true. This is one of the things I noted about this school, this government, little government school, is that for all the insistence that we have the best shopping centres, the best car parking, the best cinemas, when we come to the best schools, oh no, they can sit in rubbish chairs, they can have rubbish desks. Okay, just checking in. Come around here. And the paint is rubbish. I know this because you put the chemical on, which is good for removing crappy graffiti. Graffiti is not, you don't have to put a primer on and a cover coat, you just graffiti on. So, and you just put it in, and it's fairly fresh and young, and therefore the base paint, which is much older, will take a much greater. Oh no, it doesn't, because it's really, especially in some classrooms. The I just wonder how this is going to play out. Oh dear. So I've just got a lane closed where I want to just ease in. And now just checking the mate. Come on. Do it, mate. There's a huge truck behind me. I'm just going through. So this is really crappy. So it is interesting about how they have stitched as the narrative, as the as graffiti is an unfortunate. Oh my God, Father! Oh, my road's closed. What the heck is going on? Oh, they're putting a bloody roundabout. Oh, I don't know how this goes. I really don't quite understand. I've got to get to this. Oh, this will be absolutely devastating. Poor. I'm going to an electronics firm, and they have just completely trashed that poor electronics firm. So it's the electronics firm, whatever it is, store, only has access. Oh my God, this is just getting towards being clinically insane right here. So the electronics shop I want to go to has only access, it's in a back street. And they've closed the road up and south of it, so no one can get there. So they're going to get no browse through. I should get bloody good service going to them. So the graffiti I find is really interesting in that graffiti is to do with, it's sort of, it's got certain aspects of it. It is crime in that. It's something that you do without asking permission. You deliberately, but it's actually not bad. graffiti has a bad impact, but itself as a crime is not a really truly dreadful thing. Now I'm just going to have to see how this goes here. So quite honestly, people graffiti themselves in tattooing. They graffiti social graffiti, that is where they say fig jam, they tag you with their bullshit coming forward, is that sort of thing. And there is sort of almost political graffiti of, let's think of all the good things in life and I'm going to put my tag, my party tag on all of that. So I'm going to call in the army to fight bushfires. Bushfires are bad, not our tag. Army, good. I'm going to associate myself. They're sort of almost doing a sort of psychological graffiti, that is putting a social tag on things. So I'm not completely sold on the fact that graffiti is bad. I think it is the nicest form of badness you could possibly have, as far as I can read the situation. And I don't think the people doing it have really thought it through. There is this very much idea of behaviour and sort of the idea of a Christian view of it. There are people who are really, really against it. Now, just see, there's Battery World. Hopefully, I'll be able to get a park up here. Prepare to stop. Okay. And it is completely destroyed, all the businesses around here. It's quite sad to see how it's gone. Okay, well, I will have to stop here at the moment. I'll give you a really interesting story about a piece of historic graffiti which I inadvertently destroyed. And they thought it was okay to destroy, but I think it's rather bad. Back with you soon. Podcasting again. Just as a look as it goes around here. I just went into a store and bought my son a present. The one that I was looking at for that last sold about 10 years ago. That shows how up to date I am. But I bought him a screwdriver, little travelling screwdriver set instead. So that's the sort of strange things you do. Now, I promised that I would tell you this incriminating story about a piece of graffiti I removed. I was removing graffiti, and there on the side of a heater looked like the logo of the heater. And it was a Paradise gas heater. Now, so these gas heaters are notorious for not effectively heating. They're flueless heaters, and they basically gas Australian students with carbon monoxide. If their teachers aren't stupid enough, the actual detectors will work. I should say that there is nothing truer than someone who thinks they want to give some advice on how to teach. A surgeon is a surgeon because they've got specialist training. Policemen are policemen because they're trained to deal with things, arrest people. Teachers are just teachers, and everybody thinks they can teach. So we're going around with these people. It's interesting. So I listen to them. But getting back to this piece of graffiti, it was a piece of graffiti, and it was beautifully written, beautiful cursive script. Paradise. And the person said, is that a piece of graffiti? I'll find out if it is. And I squirted it, and off it came. And it had been there for about 10 or 8 years apparently. And this person's tag was Paradise. To get the full story, all stories are that everyone eventually gets caught. Their tags, they leave sufficient tags for old grandpas to actually put the clues together and gotcha. So they the world's too confusing, they can at least put a few graffiti people behind bars. This person used to write paradise everywhere in such beautiful script that people thought that it was stenciled or computer generated. It was so perfect, small, delicate and perfect. And people would see the word paradise absolutely everywhere. And this paradise, obviously, of this script is after the revived in 2000, the Eternity Tag. Now, what happened around the Great Depression, this fiery preacher gave this sermon saying that you are blah blah blah, it's all about eternity, you want to worry about what you do in this life has a huge effect because it affects you right throughout eternity. So this person went out and in beautiful copperplate wrote the word eternity with those beautiful curly E's, those sort of coils of spring E's. And he used to write it, and everywhere, it became a Sydney legend. Almost everyone, anywhere, had seen eternity written at these most unusual places, on the street, on the corner, on the light posts, underneath a bridge, and stuff like that. And then it was the last one. So, but this is only written in chalk, not ink, mind you. And it's sort of, this is a sort of Babs. If you want to do graffiti, you should perhaps practice it in chalk before it's there. I don't know what it is, but then he just wrote in chalk, and he would just sit, be walking along, and then people wouldn't quite know who he was. Feel the presence. See him squat down from a distance or walk up to him and walk away, and then walk past and see the word eternity and realise this is the eternity man. And it became such a beautifully written word. There's the Eternity Cafe in the caravan in the station, which reminds you, charges what is it? An illegal amount of money for food. Exorbitant amount of money for food. And I don't know how one would describe. So there are these tourist restaurants at places where if you were to just walk either side of it, you'd find something very cheap. These run by what I would call unscrupulous price gouging people. Come on, I'm going as fast as I can. So I'm just trying to go. And it's a 60s for road work. I'll slow down for that, mate. This car beeping past me. This is part of the Sydney legend, this person who just wrote eternity throughout all of Sydney. And then there was some in the town hall, on the bell, he wrote the word eternity. And I think some wiped it off, but there was another eternity written there. And I think there is one eternity which is still saved. It's an artistic icon. And so this obviously is written also in cursive script. And paradise is not your average tag, where it's sort of a bit edgy and a bit and thing, it's sort of like a slice through tag. So, look, I find it really interesting, people wanting two to two people. I think people, you know, like to really take it. The so just checking, I'm going to stay alive here. It's going on the M4. People are, and it's so beautiful. I wonder what the mountains are going to be like tomorrow. So the last couple of days it's been smoke filled, and now you can suddenly see the mountains again. And so the big question is, how frightening is tomorrow going to be? So tomorrow is going to be another high danger day, and what they're learning is that you backburn just before a fire, that's too late, because what actually happens is that it burns through and the fuel still stays upright. Now what actually happens if it backburns, then has a something happens in terms of its backburn. And a rain, and something happens. That's whereas just backburn and no rain, the fire can still go through the backburn area. So I don't quite understand how that works. So I destroyed this eternity thing, and I'm just trying to find out. I do find it interesting that the scale of writing. So these people, there's sort of famous tags, and on the back of this air conditioning duct, the back of the theatre, where you can't really see it, people have written their tags, some of the most sought-after tags in the mountains. So they know that these are high school students in that area. So the... although, yeah, they left the door open. I mean, I don't think people who break into high schools are anything but high school students. This is my understanding. So there's all these things going through this very received. Judgmental nature. You know, the actual person. Oh, come on. This person who's running this grandpa's gang of graffiti writers is an ex-London copper, and so he very much is in the idea of that. There's the coppers and there's the crims. Yeah, basically there's two groups of people, and the various things get related back to his time in the Metro, in the Met, where he would explain about how he would organise high-risk graffiti removal. Inasmuch that the risk being that the paint would fall from the could risk dripping down. So this required painting a bridge in a complicated way, but only doing so when there was no cars coming underneath. And this required a complicated system of double whistles. And of course, a whistle is by far an important, almost sacred thing for the British police from back then. So if you yeah, so it's rather interesting, that aspect of it. In World War One, when they were wanting to get everyone to run over the top, they'd blow the whistle. Yeah, that was the time. And a couple of times when it was really we were forming up. And it was a non-combat area, but very windy, hard to hear. This warrant officer who just Talk about charismatic guys. These are the most charismatic people, these warrant officers. And he would, on my whistle, like this, and you'd go and do it. So, yeah, it's a very interesting aspect in terms of it's an endless arm wrestle where the battle is never won. What I do think is that all the graffiti I saw at the high school was all very small. All the writing of letters, in fact, a few things were, say, 3 centimeter high letters. Most were only 1 or 2 millimeter high, microscopic letters. Could barely see them, and only when you sprayed acid, the colour come out for it. There was, in this entire sports centre, one piece of chewing gum. This is two basketball courts, indoor basketball courts, and seating arena, all that type of stuff, fairly, you know, your high school musical type of stuff. All around the outside of that, there was one piece of gum, she came off, and then one word, dick. Dick Dove. So that was there. One of the things is that the old wood desks, you still go in. Now, there was one science desk in which there was over 150 pieces of chewing gum underneath. And that, I said, about removing all 150 with I don't know what you call it. I suppose you call it a paint scraper. Just a thin piece of metal in a handle, pushing across. Yeah, so the story there is that graffiti is very removable. It's just the organisation, time and effort, and the mindset of people doing it. And the people, what motivates them? Is it the methodical, is it a soothing thing to remove graffiti? Are you removing it because you want to punish youth who are, do you want to represent society striking against, or do you want to create an environment where their mind is thinking about something else? Is it your contribution? And so if so, could you be doing something else which is more interactive, rather than it's this sort of interesting thing where people are hidden from view. I don't know, the entire idea. Oh, here we go around here. Yeah, the idea is, well, the concept of graffiti is that you are not within the grasp of society, and the graffiti removal gang is also similarly within the view of society, in the view of society, but also not within the view of the people who are graffitiing. The people who are graffitiing, sort of like this counterintelligence thing, the idea is the graffiti people are... I've forgotten that mask. You know, the masked people, they're unseen forces. And I think there's that feeling of unseen forces in society, that these students are going out, that they have to behave because of this entire complex system that they have got no part in. They are only just victims of laws and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to really, really try and think my way through this. So let's come off. And I am so bloody tired. I'm really aware of my cognitive narrowing in my head at this point in time. Okay, well, that's the story of graffiti removal. and I'll take a bit of a rest and do a bit more podcasting, I suppose, might be the story, and we'll just see how this goes. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.